Hi everyone, my name is Kirill Avary, and today I'll present you a model composition of coordination services. This is a joint work with Eddie, Edith, and Alex. So in distributed systems, as you saw in the previous presentation, consensus is a hard problem, reaching an agreement. For example, if you have some configuration file that you wish to save it in a consistent manner that multiple clients use, or if you have some shared resource that servers need to understand which server is now using this resource. So it's a hard problem, and coordination services such as Zookeeper, etcd, Dozer, Console, they offer us, for example, things like saving configuration file in consistent manner, taking global locks so that servers can actually gain a global lock and then they know that the shared resource is there, and other functionalities. So who is using those services? Well, basically everyone. And if not directly, then indirectly, you're using a service that is using a coordination service. So let's take an inner look on coordination services. Well, they are distributed systems as well. And clients are sending the operation to some of the one server out of all the servers, and they maintain some inner state. Now, clients should see all the updates, should see a single order of updates. So let's say that client one here wants to update X to 5, then he set X to 5. So in order to maintain a single order, this update must reach a majority of servers. Now, let's say that a different client wants to read the value. So if all operations were linearizable, meaning that they had to go to the majority, the cost will be high. So therefore, these coordination services allow reads to read from the past. I mean that it's okay that client 2 will see 0 because in the prefix of the updates order, X was 0. So as long as the clients agree on the prefix, on prefix of the updates order, it's fine, but all the updates should have the same order. So this is the same example as the last slide, just placed differently. Let me sum up the semantics of coordination services. Generally, clients see the same order of updates, and reads might be served from the past. Here, client 1 set it to 5, and afterwards, after some time, client 2 gets X and the return value is 0, but it's okay. So this simple example, I'll use it in a couple of slides, and this is why I want to show it this way. So the challenge of coordination services, actually, when they first were built, they were designed for maintaining a single data center. Now, nowadays, you have multiple clients in multiple locations, and many ask themselves, how are you going to deploy this type of service over one? You have multiple data centers, and you have multiple clients in multiple locations, and you want to understand, and you wish to understand where you should you put your servers. So this question, if you look, for example, in Zookeeper mailing list, once about 2 weeks, you will see someone asking, how should I do it right? So now I'm going to talk about the alternatives of deploying such a service. First alternative is distributed servers, we call it, and it's just taking the servers, and in each data center you place one of the servers. This way, clients can reach the local DC, and then the reads are saved locally, because semantics allows it. But updates has to go over one, because there is no single data center with a majority of servers. So each update is going to travel until a majority is acquired. So the updates are slow, reads are fast. The next approach is to place all the servers in single location, and then we use a different type of servers called here learners, following Paxos' terminology. In Zookeeper, they call observers. In console, they call proxy servers. These type of servers are unique servers. That are not participating in the consensus protocol, meaning that they're not considered part of the needed majority for an update. So here, for example, client one, if he performs an update, it's a local in DC1 because the update request stay in dataset one. But if client from data center two performs an update, then the update need to travel to DC1, and only after that, the learners learn the outcome of the update, and then the updates propagate to the learner. So it's relatively faster than the previous approach, but still, the clients from DC2 have their updates are quite slow. The next approach, this is actually the recommended deployment if you examine how Zookeeper recommend to deploy over multiple data centers. The next approach is to combine to combine multiple instances of the previous design together so that you'll have in each data center an instance of the service. And additionally, you'll have learners for each other data center so that you can perform updates perform local updates on a data that you have locally. For example, if you have clients in Europe and they have some configuration file that is only relevant to them, you can place that in a data center in Europe. And if client from the US wishes to approach this file, he uses the learner to approach it, but the Europe clients can actually perform local updates on their file. So this approach is actually fast in terms of updates and reads because it has local updates and local reads. But the problem with this approach is that the semantics breaks. It doesn't satisfy the correctness guarantees. Let me show you. So this is the same example that I showed you before, the simple one in which client 2 reads the value from the past. And let's say that now he approaches different data center. For example, say that client 2 is in Europe, and now he's using the learner in order to reach a different data center, and he set white 3. Let's say that client 1 first updates locally its value, and then each client updates the local value and then reads from the remote data center. So here, client 2 updates the local value of Y3, and then he reads from the remote data center. And he reads the past value, and it's OK, because by semantics is guaranteed here. And the symmetric approach, the semantic scenario, same goes to client 1. He updates the local value, X5, and then he reads the remote, and he returns 0, and it's OK. But if you combine these scenarios together, which is something that it might happen, then you see that the clients actually don't agree on the order of updates. Client 1 first sees that y equals 5, and only then y will be 3. And the client 2 see the opposite order of updates, meaning that this breaks the semantics of the single service. So our solution to this problem is adding a composition layer to the client side so that updates will be fast because they'll have local instance as in the previous approach, but the composition layer will guarantee the correctness of the composition. So modular composition is the name of the algorithm, and I'll show you in a couple of slides our implementation, which is called Zoonet. So first I'll talk about the algorithm. The main idea of the algorithm is that you need to have linearizable operation upon switching a service instance. Meaning that if you think about the intuition, then you want to create some kind of barrier on the past so that reads won't be able to read from the past. They will have to read from this linearizable operation. The algorithm is a bit more complicated, but this is the main point. If you're interested, please see in the paper. So this is the same example as before, but now the clients following the algorithm. So client 1 set the local value to x, and then before reading y, because read is not an atomic operation, it's not a linearizable operation, he performs sync, and sync is a dummy set operation. It's linearizable, and this is and the same goes to client 2. Before reading x, he performs sync operation, which is an unlinearizable operation. Now, if we combine the scenarios as before, here sync x of client 2 and set x to 5 of client 1 are concurrent. So it's OK that the sync will take place before set x to 5. And this is why it's OK that client 2 reads 0, because the semantics of this are allows that. Now, client one performs sync Y, but this time this operation takes place after Y was set to free by client two. And by the semantics of Y, it guarantees that Y will be free when client one reads it. So it reads from the sync, it's not reading from the past. And now if you combine these two scenarios, we see that there is a single order of updates that is maintained. So given that algorithm, we implemented it with ZooKeeper. ZooNet is a model composition of ZooKeepers. We combine ZooKeeper and ensembles together. So just a few words of ZooKeeper. The client is working with a file system-like structure. Client perform get B, and this is how we retrieve the data. And the ZooNet client is just taking the actual the original client, and we add this layer that if the client wishes to address this instance of ZooKeeper, then he says, okay, this is as a prefix. We receive the address of which instance of ZooKeeper he wishes to address. And we strip this prefix, and we forward the request. So if you see from the server point of view, it is as if the client is the regular client of ZooKeeper. Now, let's say that we receive a prefix that is different than the previous one. So we strip it, and then we use the learner in order to reach here another data center. And since the operation here that the client performs is not an atomic, it's not a linearizable operation, then we add the sync. So from the client perspective, it only performs a get. The ZooNet layer performs the sync and then retrieve the value. And as you can see from the server perspective, it is equivalent to a regular client that just performs sync and then performs get. So now I'm going to examine, in order to evaluate this solution, we wish to evaluate what is the cost of the added syncs. I mean, we added operations that are linearizable, so they must have some cost on the performance. Now, the workload of clients have three parameters. The first parameter is the ratio between read and write, how many reads operation, how many writes operation they perform, the ratio between reads and writes. Two other parameters are written here. The first is the spatial locality, meaning that it's the percentage of how many operations are addressed to a specific data center. For example, users from Europe, it's the percentage of how many of their operations are performed on the Europe data center, of the European data center, the local data center. The second parameter is temporal locality, meaning that how many consecutive access to the same data center. Once you choose a data set, an instance of ZooKeeper to work with, how many operations are going to perform one after another. For example, if a client reads some big configuration file, then it probably perform one after another read operation in order to read the whole file. So it's another parameter in the workload. So here I compare myself to two extremes. The first is that all operations are are linearizable, and the second is that the fastest approach in which you don't add any syncs at all. And if you have 100% spatial locality, meaning that you only work with the same data center, with the same instance, then ZooNet doesn't add any syncs at all, and therefore the performance are equivalent to the inconsistent solution. Now, let's examine another extreme in which we have no temporal locality at all, meaning that a client chooses an instance of ZooKeeper, performs one operation, and then chooses the next operation, in which case we see as spatial locality increases, the cost, the performance are close to the inconsistent solution. But if we do have some temporal locality, then we can see that the cost of the added sync amortized over all other operation, meaning that the performance of ZooNet is equivalent to the inconsistent solution, because you only perform sync once you move between instances. So this added cost, you don't see this added cost if you look at the whole run, all the execution. Now, once we figure out what is the workload we want to work with, we compared ZooNet with ZooKeeper deployment, the suggested ZooKeeper deployment for multiple data centers. And here what you can see is that the special locality of these two clients. This is a speedup graph. We took the throughput of ZooNet and divided it by ZooKeeper throughput. And you can see that as a special locality increases, the speed up can reach up to 7 or so. It depends on the workload. The different lines are different workloads in terms of read and write ratio. So I have 5 more minutes. I'll talk about another aspect of this work. While working on developing ZooNet, we actually identified the 2 issues in ZooKeepers. One, a performance issue in which reads were blocked for no reasons. And the second one is starvation in which a read-intensive workload made the updates not to propagate into the server, meaning that reads actually already always just reads read the state of the service and no propagation of updates were possible. So in a nutshell, the cause for this problem was that 2 clients connected to the same same server actually blocked each other. Think of it that if one client connects to a server and perform an update operation, then a client that wishes to perform a read operation is now blocked until this update ends. And if you're talking about distances between data centers, then you can see this phenomenon that it really hampers the performance. So this blocking is not required by semantics of ZooKeeper, of coordination service at all. And what we did, we actually added an isolation between clients. And by doing so, so I'll show you a graph how it affected the performance. But I'll just say that this code was actually already committed to ZooKeeper's code. And you can read more about in Jira of their further evaluation. But just 2 slides that wanted to show you. So we evaluated the new algorithm with a mixed workload in which some of the clients perform some reads and writes, and other clients only do a read-only workload. And you can see that in some scenarios, the new algorithm reaches up to 9 or 10 times better throughput than the previous one. So this is only already part of ZooKeeper's code, and it's orthogonal to our work, but we just saw this phenomenon while working with observers over different data centers. So in conclusion, this model composition design we implemented in ZooKeeper, but actually it can be implemented using any of the coordination services. It's simple. It wasn't simple when we started. We thought we should use some sophisticated server-side solution, and afterwards, because it was so sophisticated, it took time to understand that it's not correct. And then we reached this simple solution, and also from performance and coordinates point of view, we were surprised, actually. And it only requires a small change in the client side. It's backward compatible. You don't need to change all your clients. You can change only one client, the one that you wish to compose the services. And as locality increases, the cost of the other thing decreases. Meaning if your workload tend to be with high locality, then the price of this solution, this solution won't affect the performance. And as a byproduct, we also improve ZooKeeper. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, John.
John Howell from Google. Yeah. Just a quick clarifying question. You had a speed up chart, and it showed that in cases where you had 100% read workload, you still had a greater than 1 speed up. This is back about 4 slides ago, back when we were talking about ZooNet.
This one?
Yeah. So can you give a quick intuition why you can get a speed up? My understanding is that the place where you're adding cost, synchronization cost, is exactly when you have write synchronization. So why would you be able to show a speed up when you have 100% read workload?
When you have... this is because it's not that a big speed up because you're using more servers in DC1 because you have multiple servers rather than having a single.
Okay.
Here you have 1 learner, okay. Right?
So you're exploiting more resources to serve.
Yeah, but actually we tried with multiple learners and actually it affected DC1 because then the leader had to send more packages to each one of the learners. So actually we saw that this is better in terms of DC1 clients when using this approach rather than using multiple learners. This is why we use. But still, yeah, you have it, but it's not that the speed up is not that high. I mean, it's quite...
Yeah, I was just surprised because I was expecting them to be equal. Sure. Thanks.
Thanks.
Any other question? So I have one. You told us in the last slide that if there is locality, then a lot of the overhead goes away. Mm-hmm. What about, you know, how bad has to be the pattern to make your system not really good? I mean, you presented numbers from benchmark, which is totally understandable, and I'm trying to see...
What is the worst case scenario?
Yeah, and you know, how likely you and your co-authors think that scenario is important?
If you have a client his workload is just reading some value from one instance and then reading the value from a different instance and just reading a specific value, this is the worst case scenario, I guess. And then it's like there's no locality at all, so why in the first place you use different data center? If you don't have locality, there's no sense in deploying another instance, right? So in case you have locality, then there is a point, and this design also maintains the correctness. And I guess I think that workloads tend to be local. There is some portion of the data that can be partitioned. I mean, you can partition the data so that, you know.
I think my question was motivated that I have a data center, a lot of local things going on, but I know something's going on in that area. I want to kind of transfer my workload somewhere else, and the part that transition part, mm-hmm. they'll have a lot of this remote thing going on until they get stable, and I'm wondering if Zunet can handle that transition part.
The transition between working with Zunet?
Yes.
Well, I think we can think about multiple steps in deploying it without, maintaining it with good performance, but it's not something that we
didn't... It's not on the design space. Understand. Thank you. Let's thank the speaker.
You.